competition that I had at my graduation with somebody else in my class who read a poem titled Casey at the Bat. I won. Hands down. There's absolutely no way, and here we get into our message. There is absolutely no way for a religious Jew, certainly a Ben Torah, to avoid the challenge of Eretz Yisrael. It keeps imposing itself on us. If we're alive Jewishly, it tugs at our sleeves, it nudges at our side, it invades our consciousness, it pulls at our hearts. We really have no choice but to confront Eretz Yisrael in the fullness of our intellect and our neshama. Try it someday. I've done it often. Try someday, if you have the courage, to really listen to what you say in davening day after day after day. The onslaught of our soul begins at the very outset of your davening. You say Hodu. Zichru l'olam v'ito remember the covenant, Dovor tzifo le'elet dor, that which God has commanded to 1,000 generations. Arshek kohat et Avraham, a covenant that made with Avraham, Shuat holy Yitzchak, and he made it an oath to Yitzchak. Vayamidel v'chol kli Yaakov, and he made it a statue for Yaakov. L'Yisrael b'rit olam, for Yisrael is an eternal covenant. What is this covenant? What is this Shavua? What is this Chol Olam? Lema, to tell you, Lecha Eten Eretz Kenan. To you, I'm going to give a land of Kenan. Very outset of the battle. Biyotchem Eten Yisfar Kimak V'Gorimba. When you are but few people, and you are just only then coming to Eretz Yisrael, this beautiful parish of Rav Kook, where Rav Kook says that there's a dramatic difference between the relationship of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and the relationship of any other people with their native lands. By all other people, it's something that develops over a period of time. They take centuries. There have to be all sorts of experiences connected with the land, with the earth, with the people. Klal Yisrael Kima. B'hiyotchem eten yisfar, when you are just a few people, kimat v'gorbo, you would only just come in then. From that moment and further, Eretz Yisrael became part of the consciousness of the Jewish people. It's a divine bond, a divine connection. And we're never going to get it out of our system. All other people, in order that they should establish themselves, it takes time. Sometimes centuries, until a soul bond is formed to the land. Not so our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu enters the land, and that divine connection begins. The call to Eretz Yisrael is insistent, it's unrelenting. One needs an overdose of cognitive dissonance to be able to make their way through davening without a sense of the significance that Eretz Yisrael is in Jewish life. You're right there innocently getting ready to say Kriyat Shema. Maher v'havei oleinu v'rocha v'sholom me'ar v'kampo kol ha'oretz shvor oleinu break the yokes me'al tzavareinu v'tol ichenu and bring us ominiyot le'arzeinu. What are we talking about? What are you saying? We beg of God right before Krishna, bring us standing tall, the Arzeno. And if you think you're finished then you come to most probably that which is the most significant expression of our Hashkafa with regard to Eretz Yisrael, particularly now. This is what Dr. Feldenheim was talking about, you're coming to Shmona Esrei. And now you do, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you a guilty conscience. I'm going to make it rough for you. But if Olenu, bless the land. God, bless the land, saying, Talu Wakalu Rochal Peyadoma. What are we talking about? The Catskills? What are we talking about? Which land? For which land do we pray that it should be fruitful? We're praying for Eretz Yisrael. And what do we say immediately after that? To carve a shofar, Gadol Lechemisenu. Sound the great shofar for our freedom. Bring us home, Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what we're saying every day, three times a day. The Gemara in the Sefer Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin on the bed says, Borei Olam describes the great revealed end of days when Eretz Yisrael is going to be able to sustain a population. Do you understand that 100 years ago, very little grew in this land? When did the land begin to give out its fruit? Only when Jews started coming home. The land already instinctively knew that Jews are on their way. This is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Amar Rababa, Ein Lachot Keitz, Megula Mizu, there's no greater revealed end of days than this. And he quotes that great pasuk in Yecheskel. I love that pasuk. Va'atem Horeg Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Am Techem Titeinu, give out your branches, Ufer Yechem Tisu, and carry your fruit, La'am Yisrael, for my people Israel, Ki Kervu Labo, because the time of their arrival is growing close. They're coming home. A land that was unfriendly, that was arid, that was dry, that could never sustain a population. 100 years ago, it starts to give out its fruit, because it knows that climate's world is coming. Ain the hot cakes in Gulam is no greater revealed end of days. There are great movements in motion, there are great things happening here. When I learned here in Yeshiva in 55 and 56, we didn't have too much food here, but nobody went hungry. The staple of our diet was tomatoes. Tomatoes. If I came home from 2 years learning in Eretz Yisrael, I couldn't eat a tomato for 20 years. 20 years. I remember after my first or second day in Panadish, one of the elder rabbis comes over to me and tells me that Ataluya Deya. I'm going to teach you how to eat an agvania. And he took a knife, a sharp knife, and a fork. And he cuts open an agvania for me. And he shows me the inside of the agvania. This is the basar. These are the atzamot. He looks like he's describing the steak to me at kosher delight. At 46 degrees, like did that. And you know what? He was describing a steak. That was the steak on which we lived. Well, we didn't turn out much the worse for it. It's a whole different story today. And its soil has reached the point where we get what's food. This is all a divine bracha. Yecheskel prophesied it. I remember then also. There were 2 eggs a week, and I think about 1 ounce or 2 of meat per each student. Now, from the 1 ounce of meat, they made meatballs twice a week. I had to take 1 ounce of meat and turn it into a meatball. They mixed it with a lot of bread, a lot of challah. They told me in the yeshiva, that's the Pesach convention, who knows a lechem lechol basar. And we survived. I'm telling you, we survived. And we learned Torah v'asmada rabba. But it's a new world, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has developed beyond anybody's anticipation. There's a divine bracha here. I tell you, sometimes I have a problem when I go to weddings in the States. I even got up at one wedding and told everybody what upset me. Especially after Shweki won. Sos Tosis, the Tokyo Lakota, one of the brothers, Sheva brothers. There are songs, they sing it, they dance it. But you know what it says? Sos Tosis, the Tokyo Lakota. The barren woman should be full of joy and happiness. The kibbutz bonehu l'tocha, the simcha, when her children, her sons, are gathered into her in great joy. Baruch atah Hashem, misameach Tzion v'banecha. Who's the Akora? The Akora is Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. The great joy is when her children return home. That's what she's waiting for. We can sing it. We can sing it. But it has to be lived. Remember, I was once in someplace in Brooklyn with my wife. We went into one of these stores that sell cassettes. You know, you have to go in with earplugs. They're banging away. And there was a new cassette, and they said, this is the greatest. This is the greatest. So we bought it, put it into the. Just a few years ago, there were still tape decks in cars. You don't have that. That's not too often now. They're onto discs. And we start listening to this song. My wife says, listen to that. I want to go home. Oh, I want to go home where I'll be proud, where I'll be strong, where I'll stand tall. To Jerusalem of old, Jerusalem of gold, I want to go home. So my wife gives a yell at the cassette. So go home! Go home! What's stopping you? And then we get it. When Mashiach comes, I'm gonna go home. I'm not so sure about that. You wanna go home? So tosses the talk of Akora, you can do it. And how long will Hassan say in Eshbachev, Yerushalayim, Tishkach, Mimini, in Flatbush, or the atrium in Muncie, or who knows where else it might be? And how many times are we going to continue going through a Seder and a Yom Kippur, the Shana, Yerushalayim, and they get all excited and they dance around and they jump around? You can do it. You can do it. You people have a very special challenge. I think it's qualitatively different than the challenge that has faced most Jews throughout the last 2,000 years. And I'll tell you why. We'll go through it briefly. Number one, somebody has to tell you there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We once tried to go through Tanakh and see where it says that there's a mitzvah to live in Toronto or New York or Teaneck, and we didn't find. I'm telling you, we didn't find. From Bereshis until the end of Divrei Hayamim, unless we missed something. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish writes one line. Chazon Ish writes in Klal Kuchro, the halachas have been decided, like the Rambam and the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'yodua, it is known, kamal shobat ha-chofetz chayim la'alos eretz, how much the chofetz chayim wanted to go on Aliyah. I remember the apocryphal story told about the Shlomo Zalman Orbach. The Shlomo Zalman. Here's this fellow that from Chutzlaritz who makes an appointment to see the Shlomo Zalman. What did he do? He prepared all Shayim and the Achmanim and all the Hakiris with the God and the bits of Yishmeret's style. It's a Dagaise, it's a Dagabonon, it's Chiyuvis, it's Chiyumis, it's an Aveda. You know? And he comes and finally comes into Rosh Hashanah Zalman and he starts packing out all the Torah. And Rosh Hashanah Zalman, in his inimitable way, able, says, it's not important. This is due to Chutzlaritz, who's prepared months for this meeting. Says, was meant, what do you mean it's not important? And it's not important. The advice of the Rabbanon, Chiyuvis, Chiyuvis, it's not important. Open up a Chumash, and you'll see that your son Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, is he wants his children here. I remember before I made Aliyah, only to confirm what belief I spent an amazing hour and a half with Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zechitzad, and Rachel, great man, the world great man. And he told me, Sholem, you should know it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today like it always was. And if I could, it was 92 at the time, if I could, I would go now to the airport and get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael, but I can't. And I know why he can't. And there isn't a single of why he couldn't. There isn't a single one of you that has that excuse. Number two. For so many years, travel to Eretz Yisrael involved great danger. The land was desolate. It was unfriendly. Hardly able to support any kind of population. But all of that has changed dramatically. Standard of living here is just about as good as it is in most places in the world. Your great challenge is that you are one of the rare generations in the last 2,000 years who to make a conscious choice to go on Aliyah. You're not fleeing from anti-Semitism. You're not running from persecution. You're not escaping grave danger. You can stand up and make a conscious Jewish choice. I believe most people don't understand that Meshach's Psak Halacha. And also, Rav Soloveitchik said the same thing. I've heard it, you know, buddies of mine. After this conversation, they're usually former buddies of mine who tell me, you're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the Meshach said it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not a mitzvah kiyumis. You don't have to go. If you go, all right, so you fulfill a mitzvah. They don't get it. They don't get it. For me, before I came on Aliyah, Revelation's Psak Halacha was absolutely amazing. I love that Psak Halacha Adam Azeh. Do you know what the Revelation of Soloveitchik are saying? I don't even have the coercion of a mitzvah. I can make a free, conscious decision in the fullness of my Yiddishkeit. Not even a mitzvah coerces me. I can choose to do it so Hashem. I can choose to become part of Jewish history. What an amazing opportunity that is. It's not only a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, and I can choose to be the kai in it. Your greatest challenge is to take advantage of that ability to make a conscious choice. I remember hearing somebody once talking about the famous Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that there are three mitzvahs, or three great gifts that were given by God to the Jewish people, and all of them were given only with suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Anything you acquire in life needs suffering in order that you should acquire it and you should appreciate it. And the fellow was talking about Torah. And after he finishes talking about Torah, he says, in the scripture of Torah, we will someday be zochah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So I got up and I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. Could you imagine a Jew turning to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and saying, you gave us a great gift, Torah. A terrific gift, you know, the Rebbeinu Shlomo. No, thank you. You don't have to go out of your way. It's okay. I don't really need it. Can you imagine somebody saying, Olam Haba is a good design. Great gift. Rebbeinu Shlomo, really, you don't have to go out of your way for me. I don't really need your Olam. It's okay, you can keep your Olam Haba. But there are so many people, unfortunately, that can say, Matana Tova? No, thank you. I'll pass on the Matana of Eretz Yisrael. I'll pass. There's a third point that I want to make. Anybody who studies Tanakh, and if you haven't studied Tanakh up until now, you better start doing it now. There are dozens, scores of psukim that describe exactly what's happening in our time. See, Sadiq Nayak, lift up your eyes and look all around. Kulam Nigbitsu Bola. They've all gathered and they're coming home. There are 5.5 million Jews in Eretz Israel today, coming close to 6 million Jews. Eretz Israel today is most probably the largest Jewish community in the world. This is the center of Jewish life. Klal Yisrael pulsates and lives from here. Look what's happened over here. Unparalleled and unprecedented in all of history. You're going to leave the dullness with joy, and in peace you're going to come. There will be joy in all of nature as Jews come home. Your sons are going to come from the distance, your daughters are going to be carried to Eretz Israel. One of the recurring themes, beginning with Parshas itself, the Shav Hashem Elokeinu Shvuchu Mehitamecha, the Shav Kibetz Mikolam, where the Talmud says there will be Kibetz Dodos, it's the theme throughout Tanakh. We see that being fulfilled before our very eyes. I've said on a number of occasions, I don't need any sophisticated proofs that Torah is true. Nobody has to prove to me that Torah is true. See something in that. Just take a look around. The fulfillment of psukim that were written 2,500-3,000 years ago. It's all happening. It's alive. Of course Torah is divine. The Shavu Me'edet Yoyed, the Shavu Panim Levula. Two promises that God makes to Rachel. There will be the Shavu Me'edet Yoyed, those who will return from the land of the enemy. Those are the ones who run from persecution. Those who are the ones who flee anti-Semitism. Those are the ones who escape from danger. But there's a completely different category, and that's your category. The Shavu Banim Levulam, children coming home. You choose to fulfill the Tzon Hashem. Only take you one step further. Do you know what that means? You're not, to use Brisker terminology, you're not a hefzer. You're not an object battered by history of the system to define. You know what you are? You're a gather. Men who have the ability to choose. And do you know what you choose when you come to Eretz Israel? Retroactively, it means all of those psukim that the Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yehezkel, Hosea, Amos, all those psukim, you know what they're talking about? You. You inscribe yourself in Tanakh. You make yourself part of Torah. That's awesome. It's heavy. It's intoxicating to feel I'm Torah. That pasuk was talking about me. That's exactly who Yeshayahu had in mind. It's me, and I did it. Chaim Waxman, the sociologist, I think from Rutgers, wrote a book some years ago about American Aliyah, and he describes American Olim as free migrants of an innovative nature. Got that? Free migrants of an innovative nature. That's what we're talking about. You can choose. You can choose to do the Tzon Hashem. This was an opportunity that was not available to most Jews during the course of the last 2,000 years. God sends messages. If you made your way through davening in the morning and were assaulted by all of the psukim that talk about Eretz Yisrael, keep looking. You should get depressed when you come to benching. I don't know how I did it when I was in foot soldiers. It used to break me up. Know the Lecho Hashem Elokeinu, God Almighty, thank you. As Chalkol Avoteinu, you gave our fathers Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. Put my bench. Do you know what a difference it is benching when you live in Eretz Yisrael? Know the Lecho Hashem Elokeinu for benching. You gave us a great gift. To take opportunity, to take that great opportunity. The Chavishim sends messages. The one of the Rokha says, there's a bat call that goes out, woe to children who have been exiled from the table of their Father in heaven. I want to tell you, I can't let you leave tonight without telling you the story of the message that I received. You're also going to receive messages. And those messages, you will be able to receive them only if you're tuned in. If you're on the wavelength, we're going to get it. It was November of 1981. I was living in West Hempstead, and I had to make the decision whether I'm going to accept the job and go on Aliyah. We had five teenage children. The finest time to take a family on Aliyah. Five teenage children. And the fact is that we had come for a year sabbatical, we came back, and the family, the children all voted to go on Aliyah, but finally the decision had to be mine. I mean, I have to give up a great job, a community that I love. West Hempstead is a beautiful place. A lot of very, all nice people. And you know, a parnassah, and parnassah is not something to sneeze at, it's very, very significant. So here it is. I have to make the decision, I have to notify her, it's a smile, and I can't make the decision. It's scary. I'm telling you, it's scary. It may not be that scary to you. Look, young people, you can go back or stay. Finish your education. Don't come until you finished your education. You can stay here and go to Machon Lev. You can go back and go to Yeshiva University or any other place you want. Finish your education and then come home. But for me, it was an extremely difficult, very difficult decision. I was a basket case. It was a scary decision to make. On the block that I lived, Colonnade Road in West Hempstead, about five houses away, a family of Baruch Shuvah had moved in some years earlier, and we became very close to them, very friendly. And one day they come and they say, Rabbi, we're going on Aliyah. I said, why are you going on Aliyah? So I said, well, you know, since we're here in the shul, we've been listening to the reading of the Torah every week, and it's all about Eretz Yisrael, everything's Eretz Yisrael. Can't get away from it. So we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Simple, unsophisticated, yet profound, they're going on Aliyah. They had a dog, Charlie. Now, I don't like dogs. I don't like dogs. But Charlie sort of made his way into my life. I'd meet him in the street, he'd come and snuggle up. And then, this was a dog with derech eretz for a rav. This dog knew who I am and what I represent. And we became very friendly. And you know, I pack the dog, and I'd run home, of course, and wash my hands, you know, and take a shower, but all right. They went to Aliyah, and they left Charlie in West Hempstead with foster parents on the block. And these foster parents would take Charlie hours, usually about 10 or 11 o'clock at night for a walk. That was usually the time that I would go out and think over a shear, think about the speech that I have to make. And I'd usually meet Charlie, and Charlie would come running to me. He knew the rabbi. And here it is, it's the night that I have to make a decision, and I simply can't make the decision. And I'm walking in the streets of West Hempstead. V&A. The foster parents are coming with Charlie. Charlie comes running over to the rabbi, he smuggles, and I make nice to him. Good dog, Charlie. And then the foster parents tell me, Rabbi,
You won't believe it. We got a call from Israel today. They bought a ticket for Charlie. Charlie's going on Aliyah. I hear the scream on the street. That hunt, that dog is going to go on Aliyah. And I won't.
I came home. We made the decision. And we came on Aliyah. If there is a heaven for dogs, Charlie's there. The division sends messages all the time. There's the bus call that comes from Chorev. There's the bus call saying, Ezra, I want you home. Kibbutz Bonel, the sofa. And maybe what's more important than anything else, the finest group of people of the Western Olin. I go to weddings, I go to bar mitzvahs in my own community. I meet people of substance, people with idealism. They're an unusual community. I feel proud to be part of the Olin community in Eretz Yisrael. You can't begin to imagine the real contributions that they've made to Jewish life and life in general here in Eretz Yisrael. In Torah, building Torah institutions, science, medicine, technology, finance, you name the field, from religious, Olim are making an impact here, the kind of impact that you can never make anywhere else. Here they're making it for us, for them, for Chlansler. You can make a difference. There are times that I can't sleep at night when I think 100,000 Olim, religious Olim in the United States. We could make a revolution over here, transform this country into the most exceptional country on the face of this earth. We can, you come here, you bring your sense of fairness, your true understanding of democracy and ethics, a morality and expertise. What a tremendous contribution you can make by living here. Aside from the mitzvah, chiyuvis, chiyuvis, the avach, the rabbana. It's an unusual community to be part of. But you have to be tuned in. You have to receive the message. Everybody needs his Charlie. You have the opportunity to follow Avraham Avinu. You have the opportunity to continue and complete that journey that he started. Began 4,000 years ago. You can impose and inscribe yourself in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. They were talking about you. One final point. Every so often my wife finds some good words on the internet. So she prints it out. Now, when you print something out of significance, where do you put it? You guess. On the fridge. For about 2-3 years it was there on the fridge. I saw it every time I went. A great quote by Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt said, "He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived." I'm going to say it again. Now get ready, let it go into your kishkat. He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. Klal Yisrael's passion is Eretz Yisrael, the great opportunity that we've been given. And you can make that decision. You can make a difference. You can join Avraham Avinu. You can become part of the great march of the living throughout all of Jewish history. You can come here and raise your families here. You can be a kiddush shem shamayim. And I'll tell you, I have a sneaky suspicion. Charlie's going to have a lot of nachas from you if you make that decision. Think about it. Go home. No, I'm sorry.
go back. Do whatever you have to do. Get your education. But then, take the great step. Pick yourself up. Become part of Tanakh. Make yourself part of Torah. The Nevi'im were talking about you. You're not the ones that are returning the edits on gate from the land of the enemy. You are the bun, the shovel bun, the kulam. I hope and pray that the revelation will give you the wisdom, the strength, the determination, and the ability to do just that. Thank you.